Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast, pre-4th of July edition. You got drunk history last Friday, 97 minutes of skooks, or thereabout, on the 91-92 Saints. So, and you got a bunch of quick shots from me and Andrew. So you're getting your money's worth, people, but you still need to donate because we got to keep the lights on, and Kevin needs wrestling tights and horse steroids. So donate if you can. Look.
Yeah, I finally started. I'm starting to, you know, really commit myself to working out more and really pushing myself. And let me tell you something. Those horse steroids, I will be jacked.
He's down to like one dozen donuts.
You got to keep your dad. You got to keep your dad bod, though.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Well, that's the plan. Like, I'm just going to eat like 6,000 calories a day and just do nothing but like bench press and curls.
Do you even lift, bro?
And like, I'll just have, like, a giant tire around me. Like, I want to be built like a barrel.
I want to. You need to, like, you need to tweet that out and then pin it with, like, a picture of a barrel. And that should be your pinned tweet. I want to be built like a barrel. So, look, thankfully, the Saints didn't have any horrible news and lose another.
No one got injured this week.
No one got injured. Woo! Not yet.
And now that you assholes have said it, it's going to happen later this evening.
One
guy's going to step on his kid's freaking Lego and fall down his flight of stairs at his house.
Ellerby's going to fracture his foot in 9 different places. Look, as we get closer to training, and we kind of run out of topics, so we do like fun goofiness. So this week, before we get to Twitter questions, if anybody has them, we were trying to kick around ideas, and we were like, what should the idea – should we do – who's likely more likely to make this the playoffs, the Saints or the Pelicans? We were like, nah. So now we're pulling out the one that we've been saving, and this is a good – this is going to be a good show, I think. Most overrated Saint of all time. And we'll nominate them, and then we'll put a Twitter poll up, and you can be interactive and you can vote, depending on when you listen to this podcast. So – I'm going to go first, and I think Andrew's going to want to punch
just
me in.
Just set the poll for 7 days. Like, you can set the poll for 7 days.
Yeah, I'll set the poll for 7 days. So I think I'm going to nominate my person first, and then we'll vote, and everybody can vote in the poll. I think my person, Andrew's going to want to punch me in the balls, because my most overrated Saint is one of my favorite Saints, but he's so overrated, is Dalton Hilliard.
No!
Yes.
No, why?
Here's the thing with Dalton Hilliard.
What is wrong with you?
Dalton Hilliard, yes, he's high on the Saints' career rushing list, but after he had maybe the finest Saints season by a running back ever in 1989, but if I told you after 89, Dalton Hilliard never again rushed for 450 yards in a season. His last 4 years of his career, he never had more than 79 rushes in a year. And the thing is, like, we love Dalton Hilliard because in 86, 87, 88, and 89, he was awesome. And his we talked about this on Drunk History.
If you're acknowledging that, how can you say he's overrated?
Because I think his last 4 years are awful because he injured his knee.
He blew out his knee.
Yeah, he blew out his knee, and
happens.
Deuce
McAllister blew out his knee too.
Yeah, but Deuce McAllister had 4 1,000 yard years. Dalton Hilliard had 2 years above 800 yards, and you know, I just think fans, we look back and we because his 1989 is just so great, we forget that he really had an 800-yard year, a 1,200-yard year, and the rest of his career, he broke 500 yards one time. And that's not that great.
You make me sick, Ralph.
And the thing is, and this is totally not his fault, but his knee, we didn't know it at the time, but his him blowing out his knee in 1990, like it slammed the door shut on the Moore years. Because I believe firmly, if you put Dalton Hilliard on those Moore teams, like 1989, Dalton Hilliard on 91, 92, they probably win a playoff game, but it doesn't matter. And we forget that like six of his years with the Saints are kind of like, ugh, you know? And I just think like he's really overrated because we love him and nostalgia clouds the last 4 years of his career. So that is my that's my nominee for most overrated.
You're a horrible person. First of all, I think I'm allowed a rebuttal here now.
You can rebuttal.
Okay. First of all, as a kid growing up, like Dalton Hilliard is what like it fully sunk in for me in the late 80s when there was a running back for LSU, and I was just starting to discover football, just starting to really get into it. And the Saints draft a running back out of LSU that was a superstar, and so I'm really getting excited, really pumped. Dalton Hilliard could do it all. He could throw the football. They used to run the halfback pass with him all the time, and I think he had like four or five passing touchdowns in his career.
Yeah.
That year he had an 89, I'll never forget. He led the NFL with 18 touchdowns, which at the time, like, you know, since then we've seen LaDainian Tomlinson do it a bunch and Terrell Davis, you know, did it, you know, like 20 touchdowns. And I'm sure Le'Veon Bell has come close. So there's guys that have done it since. But at the time, scoring 18 touchdowns in a year when offenses weren't producing the kind of numbers they do now was unheard of. So, like, his season that year where he had 1,200 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns, and another 500 receiving, it was a borderline. I mean, he had almost 2,000 all-purpose yards. It was a historic year, not only for the Saints, but like in terms of the landscape of the NFL at the time. And he blew out his knee, and you know, he was never the same player afterwards, but he was so good on third down. He was such a good third down back that even though he wasn't the runner he used to be, the Saints still had tons of use for him. He basically became like their utility back because he had such great hands out of the backfield. He could run, he could catch, he could block, he could throw. He was one of those. He was like a Pierre Thomas. And he wasn't Reggie Bush. He wasn't, you know, the most electrifying running back of all time. But he was a workman running back that could do it all like Pierre Thomas.
Here's my thing for him being overrated is – what's the, you know, we consider like Dalton Hilliard like one of the great Saints players of all time, maybe top 15, would you say?
Great Saints running backs?
Oh, no, of great Saints players of all, or great, you would say, is he a top four Saints running back of all time?
Top five for sure, yeah, top four.
What's
yeah.
the difference between him and Reuben Mays? Like, no one ever talks about Reuben Mays being like a great Saints running back. Like, what's the difference? Reuben Mays had two good years and then blew out his knee. Dalton Hilliard had two good years and then blew out his knee. Like, there's like, what's the difference?
Well, for me, the difference is that Reuben Mays, first of all, he didn't play as long. Like, Dalton Hilliard had more of a prolonged career. He scored a touchdown in the playoffs against the Falcons, which at the time was super exciting. But Reuben Mays, I mean, in my opinion, had an amazing rookie season. He was incredible. And then he sucked every year after that. He was never the same after his rookie year.
No, he had 1,300, 900, 600, and 500 yards.
It kept going down and down. I mean, he never recreated his rookie season. I think Dalton Hilliard, while you know, he kind of peaked in 89, and then he was kind of never the same. But he still produced as a receiving back. And so that's the thing. Like, he was able to hang on with the Saints for about, you know, 8-9 year career as a running back, as a receiving back.
If Reuben Mays went to...
He played, like, double the years for the Saints that Reuben Mays did.
Yeah, but if Reuben Mays went to Tulane, I think, like, Reuben Mays would be just as iconic.
Yeah, but he didn't, damn it.
I like that. That's the best rebuttal ever, but he didn't, damn it. No stats, no facts, just pure emotion.
How can you say, listen, you put Dalton Hilliard in 89. Can you name a better season by a Saints running back ever? Like maybe George Rogers.
86, Ruben Mays ran for 1,353.
Yeah, but he didn't score 18 touchdowns and have 500 yards receiving.
And
throw for like five touchdowns.
It felt like he threw for five touchdowns. He felt like he did it every. He felt like he did it twice a year against the Rams. I'll give you that. Ruben Mays averaged 4.7 yards a carry, and he caught 17 passes. No, that's fair. I mean, but I just feel like
I mean, maybe Deuce has had better years than Dalton Hilliard, but you take Deuce out, you take a couple years that George Rogers has had. I mean, I would put Dalton Hilliard's 89 season up against any running back in Saints history.
Yeah, but that's 1 year. That's my point. That's like
it's, yeah, but how can you say he's overrated when he did it on the field? Like the guys we're about to talk about actually never had good stats.
Okay, well, that was my nominee. So, Andrew, go ahead. Who's your nominee?
I have to say, as a kid, like I had the starting lineup, you know, the little figurine. And I still have it, and it's like my Dalton Hilliard starting lineup figure.
Yeah, I saw a stat that really really torpedoed my Dalton Hilliard as overrated. We'll get to it at the end when we vote. I got to be honest, but it sort of torpedoed me.
He was a good kick returner too.
Yeah.
So for me, it's Bobby Hebert.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people would say he's one of the best, if not you know, top five. I would say. Quarterback in team history.
Fuck no, but keep going.
Yeah, the thing for me is he was a totally average quarterback, and
being generous.
You know, I think Hebert, like you got to look at what Breeze has in his career defensively with the Saints. Hebert was the exact opposite. Hebert played in as dominant as the Saints offense is right now and has been under Sean Payton. With Jim Moore, it was the exact opposite. It was the same thing with the defense. It was the Dome Patrol that dominated teams so much that basically all they had to do offensively was tread water, kick the occasional field goal, and they'd win the game. That was all they had to do. And Bobby Hebert, you know, you'll look at his career record with the Saints, which is 49-26. That might be a better win percentage than Breeze. With the Saints. I mean, and he had a terrific record.
He threw a lot of picks, though, dude.
He threw a lot of picks, and he kept games interesting. I mean, he was the least clutch quarterback ever. That's the thing. The only time I ever saw Bobby Hebert be clutch was when he was playing for the Falcons against the Saints.
Yeah.
Literally the only time.
Bobby Hebert rarely had, like, the only, like, game-winning drive late in a game I can remember is the Seattle game in 91, but he was... not that clutch, but Kevin,
his quarterback rating was 78.0, totally pedestrian. 124 touchdowns, 98 interceptions.
Kevin, if I said
pedestrian.
If I said to you, Bobby Hebert, his highest touchdown total with the Saints in a given year, what would be your guess? Like, what would be his like best year with the Saints?
His ceiling. Let's see.
If you guess
24, mate, 23.
His best year with the Saints was 20 touchdowns in 1988. He threw for 3,000.
How many picks did he throw?
15.
Jesus Christ.
He threw for 3,000. I mean, I know it's a different time and all. He threw for 3,000 yards twice with the Saints. His best touchdown total is 20. He never threw less than, eight picks. And in the year he threw eight picks, he only started nine games. You know?
I mean, I'm gonna put this in context for you. His highest QB rating ever in a season was 82.9. That was his best with the Saints ever. Breeze, by comparison, his absolute worst season was 89.4. So Breeze's absolute worst year of his career with the Saints is better than Hebert's best in terms of efficiency and rating. And so to me, again, that points to he was on a team that, you know, and he had guys like Ruben Mays and Dalton Hilliard and a terrific receiver and Eric Martin and a very good offensive line that protected what was otherwise a very poor quarterback.
They loved him, though. Like, the Dome Patrol loved him, I guess, because they knew he was the best they had. But, like, people always argue with me that Hebert was better than Aaron Brooks, dude. Aaron Brooks's, like, his worst year with the Saints was 2005, which is the Katrina year, which you can kind of throw out. Like,
and Aaron, he was injured.
Yeah, Aaron Brooks never threw from 2001 to 2004 when he was the Saints starter. He never threw less than 20 touchdowns. Yet, granted, he did throw a lot of picks. But I mean, his overall, like, for me, Hebert being one of the quarterbacks on the 50th anniversary team is a joke.
Yeah, I mean, 85 touchdowns and 75 interceptions. I'm sorry, that was during his time with the Saints. 85 touchdowns. It's almost 1-1.
Kevin, I feel like with the if Bobby Hebert in this and if the early 90s Saints was transformed,
if Bobby Hebert was the quarterback on the Saints team now, they would go 0-16 every year. If Breeze was on the team that Bobby Hebert played on, the Saints would have won 5 Super Bowls.
I don't know.
I don't know about 5, but I mean, I definitely think
they'd have made an NFC
5.
I don't know that.
5, goddammit.
I don't know that Jim Mortal would have let him loose like he needed to be, and their running game still sucked. But Breeze definitely would have been more clutch, I think. So we have Dalton Hilliard to mine.
You know, when I was on my honeymoon with my wife.
With my wife.
When I was on my honeymoon, it was in Hawaii in Maui, and in the Four Seasons where we were staying was Joe Montana. And I met him and I talked to him. He's a super nice guy. And I told him I didn't like him as a kid growing up because I was a huge Saints fan. And I was like, you broke my heart every year. And he said to me, yeah, man, the Saints. He was like, you know, that the Cajun Cannon, your quarterback, he said, just wasn't good enough. That was the one comment he said to me about the Saints in those years. Like, he kind of attributed that team. He was like, defense was awesome, your quarterback wasn't good enough. That was his comment.
So
yeah, I met Joe Montana once too.
Did you?
I actually did. Joe Montana, when I was working at Channel 4, we were in the morning assignment meeting where, like, all the reporters and the producers are, like, sitting in the news director's office. And Montana was in the building being interviewed for something. And then it was like, oh, hey, why don't you just come walk through the newsroom and tell everybody hi. And so he comes in the newsroom and then he strides into the, like, he's led into the news director's office and he's like, hey, everybody, you know, tall guy, Joe Cool, the full deal. And sure enough, a guy our age says to him roughly the same thing you said, like, man, you know, my childhood was wrecked because of you and all this kind of stuff. And he starts signing, like, autographs for people, and he comes up to me, and I just flat out tell him, I said, yeah, listen, you were maybe like my third or fourth favorite person on Tecmo Super Bowl. That's about it, Chief.
He was good on the Super
Bowl. And he stared at me and then just moved right along. So that's about it. That's my brush with Joe.
My wife played his son, not the one that quarterbacked. Yeah. Not the one that quarterbacked Tulane, but the older one who went to Notre Dame, I think, was a backup. But my wife played him in ping pong and beat him 21-3.
Hmm. True story.
Kevin sounds like he's speak a spell.
Yep.
Wait, I said, and then Joe Montana went upstairs to masturbate.
Oh, yeah. That was
probably
might be the greatest Saturday Night Live skit by an athlete or Peyton Manning's PSA. It's close. I'll give Joe Montana that. So Kevin, who is your most overrated Saint?
It's a good thing I live in St. Louis now because I would almost assuredly have somebody come and try and egg my house for this.
I hope Barry's listening.
Oh my God!
I'm going with Archie Manning.
Explain it.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
You hear the proverbial pin drop, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Archie, like, nice guy, you know, used to shill for Mick McElwain Automotive and all that stuff, and
New Orleans icon.
Yeah, New Orleans icon, great guy. Ole Miss, you know, SEC guy and yada, yada, yada. But he was shit. He was shit as a professional football player. And listen, had he been had he been drafted by
an NFL professional team?
Yeah, but by an actual NFL team and not a fucking NFL Europe team masquerading as an American team, he'd have had a better career. He might have gone to the Hall of Fame. I don't know, but guess what? He was drafted by a shit team, and he had a shit career because of it. And he, you know, that's about it. The guy now, Juge went off on his numbers here with Bobby Hebert. His career numbers. You make fun of, and you say Bobby Hebert had a pedestrian career passer rating. Manning blew that out the water. He had a career passer rating of 67.1. 67.1. His touchdown to interception ratio. At least Bobby Hebert threw more touchdowns than picks. Archie was 125 to 173.
And here's the thing.
His career completion percentage was 55.2. This guy would be a camp body. At best, he would be like fighting for a he'd be fighting for third spot on the roster with a fifth round draft pick out of Youngstown State with that career.
It was the thing that's hard with Archie. Is the Saints weren't even competent except in like 78, 79. So
and they never had a winning record.
And listen,
I know you can point and say the team was shit, the offensive line was garbage, the defense was trash, and yes, it absolutely was. The coaching was piss poor. But you're asking me to name the most overrated player, and everybody and their fucking mother swears up and down about Archie. They swear he's really great.
I feel like our Archie truthers in their heart of hearts truly believe that if you had put Archie on any other team, he would be a Hall of Fame quarterback with, you know, amazing statistics and Super Bowls to back it up.
I think he would have been really good. Because I think there was some really good there was some decent years with it. The thing with Archie though is that they were only a competent NFL team like in 77 and really 78 and 79 with Archie. And the thing is, in those years, in every big game they had, Archie was fucking terrible. And you could say, well, you didn't watch. No, I watched. I don't remember his name, God bless him. There's a guy that you can email him and be like, dude, give me all the games from the 70 whatever year Saints, and he has them all. And I have 77, 78, and 79, all the Saints games on DVD. I've watched them all. And against the Raiders in the second half when they collapsed, Archie was pathetic in that second half. Against Atlanta when they lost in 79, they lost the opener. Because in the overtime on the punt, Archie was fucking terrible. He couldn't complete a pass in the fourth quarter. Against San Diego after the Oakland game, he was fucking like in every big game in those years, Archie Manning was awful in the big spots. And the thing is, you can make an argument Archie's best year personally is the 1980 Saints when they were 1-15. Because he was just chucking the ball all over the place. But and the only defense of Archie is Google Paul Zimmerman, Archie Manning, and read the like feature about him in like it's like 1982, I think. And like Paul Zimmerman like lists all the Saints bad drafts in the 70s, and it's just fucking you're like, oh my god, I don't believe this is terrible. But it's like facts.
I'm not done. Go ahead. This motherfucker, he was a tremendous athlete. Tremendous athlete. He got drafted to be in baseball, and he opted for football. And he was named the quarterback of the century or the quarter century for the SEC. So the that's why
the truthers love him, because he was a tremendous athlete. Yeah.
Right. Tremendous athlete.
It's like the Michael Vick factor.
Yeah.
Right. Tremendous athlete, and then he gets up to the pros, and he can't do anything. He was so the team was so bad, and he was so bad around him. He had defenses feeling sorry for him.
The funny thing with the Paul Zimmerman column was Archie Manning was part of the reasons, like until in the last, would you say 15 years, Andrew, like teams in the last 15, 20 years is the first time like teams would draft a quarterback and play them early, right? Like that's a fairly new thing. Like Archie was the card, like in that Paul Zimmerman column, NFL teams is like, Archie, that's why you don't play a quarterback till year three, because look what happened to fucking Archie Manning. The Saints like played him from day one and it killed him and it ruined his career. Like Archie was literally the cautionary tale of why you don't play a rookie quarterback. You know? And I just think like, I guess, and either of you can shoot me down, Kevin.
We just gave Barry Hirsch just an aneurysm. He's not even listening, and he probably had an aneurysm.
He's like, "What? What? What?" I hear somebody saying something bad about Archie. I feel like if you tell Saints fans that watch the Saints and love them and rooted for them in the '70s until more years, if you tell them Archie sucks, then that is like telling them all that time you invested in the Saints was totally fucking worthless, and it was hopeless.
Yeah.
And they know it's hopeless, and they know it was worthless, but Archie is like the one shining beacon of like, he gave us hope. He didn't give you hope. That was fucking a hopeless decade, and they don't want to admit it. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I mean, that's the exclamation point right there. That's it. And it's like, listen, we all love Archie. He comes in, he does the play by play or does commentary for whatever. He goes on CBS with the SEC network, you know, Eli and Archie and Cooper and the whole deal. That's great. But my God, the man was not a good professional football player.
I mean, think of this way. Bum got there and chased him out of town for Ken Stabler, who in 1980 was fucking terrible for the Oilers, and Bum was like, "Nah, Archie, we're gonna get you up out of here." And the thing is, you can't really say that Bum was wrong for wanting Archie up out of there. Like, and let me tell you, Ken Stabler, by the time the Saints got him, I thought Ken Stabler had been good with the Oilers. I look back at the '80 Oilers. Ken Stabler threw like 14 touchdowns and 30 picks. They just handed off to Earl Campbell every play. And Baum was like, nah, dude, we're going to get you up out of here.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Archie, I think that era scarred him so much that when it came time for his kids to get drafted, I mean, you'll remember there was talk about the Saints taking Peyton if the Colts passed on him early.
Because the thing was, I think he could have came out in 98. He could have come out in 97, and the Saints were pretty bad that year. And they were like, "Well, if he comes out
top five pick or something,
He would have been. He probably would have been number one." And they were like, "You know."
So people were talking about Peyton to the Saints, and it was gaining some steam. And I remember, you know, it was either a rumor around town, or Archie may have said this accidentally to someone on air, but he kind of said, "You know, I really don't want Peyton to come to the Saints." You know, and so he kind of had mentioned that, like, you know, the franchise isn't in good shape and they're losing.
Yeah,
he didn't want Peyton to come into that situation.
I think.
And then with Eli forced the Chargers, because they were so pitiful, to trade him to the Giants. And I think that was all orchestrated by Archie, who was in Eli's ear and being like, "You don't want to go to the Chargers, losing franchise. You'll have a career like me. You'll end up like me. You got to go somewhere that can support you."
That's good parenting. I mean, but you know what, though? That's good parenting, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, Rivers worked out fine. And the Chargers, I mean, they didn't win a Super Bowl and the Giants did. But could the Chargers have won a Super Bowl with Eli Manning? I mean, they had LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates. Sure, they could have won. It's not like the Chargers have been awful since Eli Manning came to the league.
Yeah. but they were sort of disastrous then. So, so I guess we need to vote on it, and then I'll,
and the Saints and the Saints, by the way, beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So
this shows you what Archie knows. Overrated. I guess we got to do underrated now too, huh?
Yeah, but we'll do that another time. So Kevin, who do you vote for your own? You can vote for your own guy if you so prefer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shouldn't we? We ought to put this as a Twitter poll, honestly. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I'm doing that.
Yeah, because I mean, like our votes are. I mean, just put it up as a Twitter poll, and I assume we'll just vote for each other's own thing, and yeah. That's, you know.
Okay. Yeah. It's gonna be blood in the streets. As soon as this poll goes up, I'm gonna have a tweet storm from Barry.
Good. Well,
some feelings are gonna get hurt here. It's personal with Archie.
Yeah.
It's personal.
Let me see this. Let me make sure I. So I mean, is there because Dave wasn't on the show tonight, but is there anybody that we do you feel like
honorable mention?
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Brooks. Yeah, he was underrated and overrated at the same time, but I feel like he's in the discussion. Eric Allen definitely gets honorable mention. I mean, the guy made a Pro Bowl with the Saints, and he was garbage.
Who was that?
Eric Allen.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He wasn't really overrated by the fan base. The fan base hated him, but he was definitely overrated by media and the Pro Bowl votes and whatever. That guy was a joke.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else is like most... You know,
Kyle Thurley?
He's definitely like top. Saying top 10 doesn't even do it justice. Maybe like top, I don't know, top 6, top 7 for sure.
All right, we gotta do poll.
I feel bad. We've had like half these guys on the podcast.
Well, I feel like for the overrated.
Wait, y'all have had Kyle Thurley on the podcast?
No.
Yeah.
Have we?
I guess I interviewed him separately, maybe without you, Ralph.
Maybe I don't. Maybe.
Yeah. I've got Kyle Turley's number on my phone.
Yeah, I feel like you can't be like a one-hit wonder that fans, you know, loved or whatever.
Yeah, but wait a second. Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on, because we're getting, you know, otherwise we're going to be screaming about Brian Milne in a second, and we can't be doing that.
No, I mean, I feel
he's sacred.
You got to have like a...
If you dare touch Brian Milne Boulevard.
I think like to be overrated, you got to play for like a little bit of time. Like, you know, like you got to play... Like Brian Milne, he isn't really overrated or underrated. He had like a moment, you know?
He's like a Gleason.
Yeah, but Gleason played a while, and Gleason blocked punts and did some stuff, you know? But I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, Gleason maybe had more than one moment, but I mean, you know, Gleason never made a Pro Bowl, you know,
yeah.
If you look at his stats, I mean, it's nothing crazy. Gleason's more of a, you know, I think Milne is an apt comparison.
Yeah. So I guess
Tracy Porter is another one I would put in that category.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like overrated guys, but I can't like, it's hard to. Maybe
Stan
like
Brock?
Maybe like Gene Atkins and Matt like the same yeah, but it's a reach. So yeah. So we got a bunch of
Twitter. I think Brock is kind of underrated actually.
Yeah. So we got
Brock and Colston obviously would be good candidates I think for the underrated tournament.
Yes, indeed. So we got a pretty good a lot of good questions. This is from William. Kevin, is it possible this is Drew's last year? If so, would we draft a guy or look to a free agent, Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor? Like, what do the Saints do if the Breeze era is done? What do you think they do for 2018?
I mean, we're assuming that Drew is just leaving or something.
Well, whatever.
Or,
like, it's just over. Like, maybe he leaves.
Well, he's not going to retire. I mean,
he wants all of them.
If the Saints go 7-9 again, I bet he will go somewhere and sign with a better defense.
He wants to break all the records, though, and I don't know necessarily that he can do that anywhere else. So he's going to be kind of torn. Like, it's going to be really tough for him because I don't think – like, if he goes – like, he can't get to all those passing records, say, if he's healthy, if he goes to, like – say, like, Minnesota ends up being really good, and they're like, we're getting fucking rid of Bradford. Bridgewater can't cut it. Drew, come play here. We play in a dome. You'll be good. Like, he's not gonna put up the numbers to break those records. And Drew Brees wants those fucking records. Like, he does. And so we'll see. But
yeah, I mean, Sean Payton will let him chuck it till his arm falls off.
But Kevin, what do you think they would do? Do you think they would go after a free agent? Do you think they would draft a guy? Like, what do you think it would be?
Oh, I'm assuming that Drew has. So Drew has made it clear that he's leaving or he wants out, and so yeah, so it's obvious. The team had then it's you're looking at a first round draft pick, and you're looking at them hopefully trying to acquire somebody, to be some kind of competition in camp, and potentially start. I mean, this is me talking, so I'm in favor of get a veteran in there to start the season, have the rookie on the bench with the clipboard, and have him learn. I am not a fan of throw the rookie on the field from the beginning.
Yeah, and it's too, you don't know, William, you don't know how the season's going to go. Like, if the Saints go 7-9, you could say, well, I want him to draft a quarterback and next year's draft class is going to be really good. But if you pick in 12th, just because you want the best quarterback doesn't mean you're going to get him. If it falls apart, Andrew, and he's injured or whatever, and you go 2-14, then you're picking first or second. You have, like, you can pick whoever the fuck you want. Then it becomes, you know, so it just, like, you don't, the 2017's got to play out before you say, oh, they're going to get a veteran or they're going to, you know, don't you think, Andrew? Like, you got to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I agree.
This is an interesting question from Ryan. Andrew, if the secondary had been healthy and played to expectations, how many more sacks do you think the Saints would have gotten last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially, I have said this numerous times, I think, on this podcast, but when I go back and watch these games from last year, you know, there were some games, especially against Matt Ryan against the Falcons and Matt Stafford against the Lions, where the ball was out so quickly. I mean, it was like pre-snap, they already knew where they were going with the ball. And it's like, boom, three-step drop, ball's out in less than 2 seconds. Defensive line never had a chance, you know? And I think that was a combination of the teams kind of being aware of what the Saints were doing defensively, and, you know, not just the sheer terrible talent. And you know, when Ken Crawley came into that game against the Raiders, it was the same thing. The car was getting the ball out so fast. Whoever Ken Crawley was covering, that's where the ball was going. And, you know, as a pass rusher, there's nothing you can do. So I definitely think if Delvin Bro was healthy and if, you know, Kyle Wilson hadn't gotten injured and, you know, they had kept some of these guys, PJ Williams doesn't have a horrible concussion. How many sacks? I mean, it's hard to quantify, but I don't think it's crazy to say they would have had 6 to 8 more sacks over the course of the year if they hadn't been decimated at that position.
So they need, like, they need a healthy, good-ass secondary to have any hope without Fairley, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Kevin, this might be...
I mean, it'd be a good start if Bro doesn't get injured and Lattimore doesn't suck.
You know, I need to open an Excel spreadsheet and save the best questions for the show because this question from Robert, Kevin, is definitely in the running for question of the year. Would you take 10 lashes from Junior Gallette's belt if it meant we were guaranteed to beat the Falcons 28-3 in their new stadium?
Hang on a second.
You better like and repeat that puppy.
10 lashes, and that is an all-time question. 10 lashes from Junior Gallette to just get one win?
28-3 in their new stadium, though. I mean,
is that their opener?
No, it's not. No. The giant, somebody called it the giant Chinese takeout stadium because it looks like a giant Chinese takeout box.
Nah, I prefer Megatron's asshole. Is.
Yeah, I do too. But
Or Goatsy Stadium.
Yeah.
10 lashes for that. It's like, it's one win. Like, that's the problem.
But
like,
my
I know
God.
It's 28-3, but it's like, and here's the thing. Maybe it's not lashes? Even their home opener. It's not seven even lashes? Their big fucking home opener.
I don't care.
How many lashes, Kevin?
Okay, how many? Let's see. I would, let's see, five. I'll throw five.
You could do it till I blacked out. if it was 28-3, I'm not even kidding. You could just hit me in the back till I black.
Keep going, Junior.
Just keep going, Junior, till I black out. I don't even care. 28, that would be cool. Like, because the thing is, the Saints season, the way it looks now, I can objectively say it feels like it's going to be terrible. And if you guaranteed me beating Atlanta 28-3 in their own stadium, that would be like a lifeline of joy in a potentially terrible season. You could beat me till I black out.
See, that's an unfair question for Ralph, because between the Botox shots that he gets and the fact that he bleeds bourbon.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not feeling any pain anyway. You're already blacked out.
It's true. It's true. It's true, but I would do it for Saints fans worldwide, because that's how much I hate Atlanta. This is a good question for you, Kevin. This is from Alfredo. Rank the grill meats.
Rank the grill? I mean, it's steak. Steak. That's what you grill. Like, yeah, okay. Like, tomorrow I'm going to grill some veggies too, but I'm grilling steak first.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is it like what are we talking about? Like, sausage is up there, but it's like, it's steak, man. You go steak first, you go brats, you go sausages.
Pineapple's high on my list.
Pineapple is good to grill.
It's good. It's not steak, but it's underrated. Like, grill your fruits, people. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
Portobello
mushroom.
Yeah. This is a good question from Robert. This is an actual football question. With Sheldon Richardson apparently not garnering much trade value, what is the max you'd be willing to give for him, if anything? The Jets are in full fucking rebuild mode, by the way.
Well, the Saints already gave up
a second round
pick.
Yes.
Yeah. I just don't think Richardson's a great fit for what the Saints do defensively. So I don't know. I mean, you find talent, you find a way to get him on the field and you make it work. But I wouldn't give up more than a fifth round pick.
I don't want the Saints.
I don't want to pay him his contract.
No.
The Saints already have cap issues. They're already dealing with Fairley's.
No,
contract.
I have a deep feeling of dread. I don't want, and I know I was Mr. YOLO for 2017, but I feel like that window has shut. I don't want the Saints giving up any more picks for people in camp or, you know, trading with teams. I just don't do it. You already gave up a second round pick, and I feel like that there's a 50% chance that that's going to be top five. Like, the YOLO door is closed. Your roster is what your roster is. You go with it, and if it crashes and burns, fine. No more giving
Richardson
up.
Richardson is damaged goods.
Yeah, I mean there's nothing to be done. Like, it's fucking July 3rd, you know.
So how do we feel about Drew Holiday being the richest athlete in New Orleans?
That can be a quick question. Kevin, who's more likely to make the playoffs, the Pelicans or the Saints?
The Pelicans. I'm not even hesitating on that one. Listen, the Saints, if the Saints get to six wins, that's a victory.
Wow.
I am preparing myself for that now, even though I'm not going to be watching.
You're full on Ralph.
That is.
You're full.
Listen, give me the conductor's hat. Give me the red neckerchief. Give me the overalls. And I will drive this train right off the bridge like the end of Back to the Future 3.
Are you losing use of one of your arms, Kevin, as you speak?
and it's falling into cat food too.
It is. I feel like I can't. Kevin, my instinct is that you are correct, but I have to see where they are post training camp. Like, if they can get through training camp And
did we Freaky Friday each other?
Maybe. I feel like if they can get through if they can get through training camp, Andrew, and not be hit really hard with injuries like it seems like they have been the last couple of years. If they could get through training camp and let's say they're really lucky and they only lose Anzalone as a draft pick and maybe they lose Rafael Bush. And those are like the two guys that they lose are going to be out.
Where do I sign?
You know, like if that's what happens in training camp, then you'll be like, well, it's basically Fairley is the only major guy they lost. Armstead they lost too, but they can kind of finagle it with the offensive line. When Ramchick, maybe it can work out. But if they have like a black Saturday like 2000 and Hazlitt, where Hazlitt lost Cam Cleveland and Steve Israel and Rob Kelly all on the same, like in the first two
that
series.
That team made the playoffs, by the way.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, like, if they have that, then you'll be even feeling worse about 6-10. So I gotta see their health going into the Minnesota game before I'm ready to declare they're fucked for 2017. And also, I don't want to declare they're fucked. It's July 3rd.
I'm pretty close.
You are, man. I see your text almost every day. It's pretty sad. But I think the Pelicans, the West is just a beast, man. It's just so hard.
It's the worst it's ever been after like, this offseason. It's more pronounced, the disparity in talent from one. I mean, they should contract the entire Eastern Conference.
Like, here's the thing that's frustrating with just the Pelicans.
Advance the Cavs to the NBA Finals, play a whole season with the Western teams, and have them just play the Cavs at the end of the year.
Here's the thing, like, when the Pelicans went to the playoffs, Monty's last year, they went 45-37 and barely got in on the last day. And I feel like 45-50 wins is their ceiling. Is their absolute ceiling. And like, if you told me they won 48 games and didn't get in the playoffs, I'd be like, yeah, sounds about right. Like 41-41 in the West isn't going to get you in, where 41-41 will probably get you like the fifth seed in the East, you know? So yep. I just feel like the only hope the Pelicans have is like if a couple more free agents that are still out there will like go to the East and open up some more spots, but I don't see it. So anyway, this was a fun podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Kevin, give us a 15-second wrestling and relationship update, if you will.
All right, so relationship update. I am seeing a lady. We've gone out on a few dates in the last few weeks, and she actually is not petrified by me. She knows I wrestle. She thinks that's wonderful. And
hashtag dad bod.
Yeah, she enjoys the dad bod. We get along very well. She's coming over tomorrow. I'm gonna grill steak and it's gonna be a regular old. Happy 4th of July for
me.
You're
not going to Donald Trump that steak and burn it and dump ketchup on it, are you?
Here's the thing.
I don't think Kevin Donald Trump's anything.
No, not at all. If you put ketchup on your steak and you are older than 8 years old, get out of my country. Get out of my country.
So,
listen, I know people get all harsh about, oh, this guy uses Worcestershire or A1. Listen, you go and use all, I don't care if you want to douse your steak in that. I think it's silly, but whatever. But if you use ketchup, be gone and stay gone.
You should have ordered a hamburger.
Basically.
So,
Wrestling-wise, everything's going fine. I'm working out more, so people are telling me that they notice a difference, so that's fine. I'm wrestling Sunday, July 9th, in front of like 500 people on the same show as Dusty Rhodes' son.
Nice.
People that know wrestling know who Dusty Rhodes' son is. So.
Yeah.
Would you say you have improved stamina?
Yes, I have improved stamina.
What? So
I'm not going any further, Juge. I know what you're thinking of. I'm not going any further, dude.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is me we're talking about.
It's like a hand grenade.
I am not picking up what you are putting down.
So you can find Kevin on the Twitters. You can find Andrew at Saints Nation. He's got me and him are doing the quick shots all the time. He's got interesting articles about Michael Thomas being the best receiver in Saints history. The one thing that Skooks just tweeted, and I want to plug it again, he said about the 1991-92 Drunk Saints history that we did, good Lord, so much of the feedback from this show has been about people's Saints-related trauma, and that is absolutely true. My mentions is just filled with people going, in 1992, I was 12, and I got so mad, my parents gave me an axe and told me to go outside and chop down a tree. You know, so, but well, I mean,
give a child a sharp object. Exactly. That's a good idea.
Parenting in the South is fine. But the man, that's what drunk hit. The Saints, man, pre 2006, besides 2000, that's all the Saints was trauma. You know, you gotta embrace it. So go to Saints Nation. Find Kevin and me on the Twitters. Dave.
Yeah. Find Ralph on Twitter and pick on him mercilessly for saying that Dalton Hilliard is the most overrated Saint of all time.
Fine.
Shame on you, Ralph. That's terrible.
What
was the stat you were going to say?
Oh, yeah, that he caught 48 passes in 1992. Sort of torpedoed my whole thing.
Third down running back, man. He was Pierre Thomas before Pierre Thomas existed.
So but we can't all agree. If we agree on this show, Andrew, it's dull. But
Dalton Hilliard threw a better ball than Bobby Hebert. Just saying.
That is a fact. That is a fact. Probably better than Archie. So so for Dave, who's MIA, for Andrew, for Kevin, until next week, the bar is closed.
Bumble works, folks. It works.